Good afternoon, everyone. For this panel, the title of my paper is The Anti-Colonialism, Nationalism, and Transnationalism of Jose Rizal and Aurobindo Ghose, a Comparative Study. Abstract. If colonialism is the policy of a nation seeking to acquire, extend, or retain overseas dependencies, then anti-colonialism is an opposing movement, a movement that will lead to independence and self-rule. Anti-colonialism is a kind of nationalism, and nationalism is an ideology about how the community particularly asserts the ascendancy of its collective identity over others and seeks political power in the form of a state or a nation. On the other hand, transnationalism is an ideology of going across or beyond the boundaries of nation states in the sense of a heightened awareness and interconnectivity between peoples belonging to different nationalities. The embodiment of nationalism and transnationalism can be found in persons who have taken great strides and much effort in the accomplishment of such crucial and noble endeavor. In the Philippines, one of them is Jose Rizal. Consider the national hero of the Philippines, a Filipino physician, novelist, poet, artist, patriot, and the most prominent advocate for reforms in the Philippines during the Spanish colonial era. In India, there was Aurobindo Ghose, an Indian nationalist, freedom fighter, philosopher, yogi, guru, and poet. Definitely, it is clear that these two personages are contemporaries of sorts, with the former being older by a little more than a decade. This paper is a comparative study between the anti-colonial, nationalist, and transnational efforts of Jose Rizal and Aurobindo Ghose. For a closer look into their lives and writings would reveal similarities and differences that would make us understand better the story behind the success of their anti-colonialism, nationalism, and transnationalism efforts and how it has shaped the respective countries to what they are today. The keywords, of course, are Rizal, Aurobindo, Filipino-Indian, anti-colonialism, nationalism, and transnationalism. Introduction. Anti-colonialism is an opposing movement to colonialism. That is a movement that will lead to independence and self-rule. Is anti-colonialism exactly the same as nationalism? It would seem to be synonymous, and yet, according to Michael Hechter, it is not the case because nationalism embraces so many dissimilar meanings that the very concept is muddled. But it has always been held that nationalism consists of political activities that aim to make the boundaries of the nation a culturally distinctive collectivity, aspiring to self-governance, coterminous with those of the state. In other words, in nationalism, the community asserts its ascendancy or preeminence of its collective identity over others. On the other hand, transnationalism is somewhat a different and a more contemporary and modern concept, which refers to multiple ties and interactions linking people or institutions across the borders of nation states. There is thus an understanding of going across, beyond, or that of a heightened interconnectivity between different groups of people or boundaries between nation states. Again, according to Michael Hechter, most scholars agree that nationalism is a creature only of the past 200 years of history. That would approximately be in the beginning of the 19th century or in the 1800s. Because he said that prior to those times, people lived together in small groups that engaged in hunting and gathering. Of course, it is clear that he is speaking in terms of the known world or of what we know as Europe or the New World. It has been accepted an accepted fact that anti-colonialist, nationalist, and transnationalist efforts would not be possible without persons who are at the forefront and have taken great strides and much effort in the accomplishment of such noble tasks of independence and self-rule, building up of a collectivity, collective identity, to form nation-states, and to open up boundaries to link peoples belonging to different nations, languages, cultures, and creeds. This paper will be a comparative study on Jose Rizal and Aurobindo Ghosh's lives, writings on them, their influences, and updated research work, drawing much from resemblances between the two, since they are almost contemporaries with a little over a decade of difference, yet belonging to the same generation. This paper would concentrate much on the parallelisms, particularly in historical, educational, political, anti-colonialist, nationalist, and transnationalist undertakings between Rizal and Aurobindo Ghosh, thus bringing to the fore new global perspectives and much deeper understanding on how they have contributed to the attainment of anti-colonialism, nationalism, and transnationalism efforts in their respective nations in the 20th century and even beyond. Let's go to the next. Yes. The similarities between Jose Rizal and Sri Aurobindo, or Aurobindo Ghosh. The two personages who are the subjects of this paper undoubtedly were contemporaries of sorts. Rizal was born in 1861, while Aurobindo was born in 1872, with Rizal being older, a little older, by more than a decade. Reading their brief biographies in the previous sections would definitely bring to the fore similarities and differences between the two. Rizal and Aurobindo were both gifted persons who used their talents well. Jose Rizal was a precocious child. For at 2 years old, he was able to recite the alphabet. At four, he would copy sentences in Tagalog as well as Spanish, while on the other hand, Aurobindo, at 7 years old, had a good grounding in English and Latin, learned history, geography, arithmetic, and French. Both of them studied Latin and Greek. Rizal showed keen interest in reading, since it is said that their family had the biggest collection of books in the town, and even one of the largest in the islands. While Aurobindo read plenty of books like the Bible, the works of Shakespeare, Shelley, and Keats, he also wrote poetry for magazines at an early age. Both of them have a keen understanding of history and studied world history and the history of their native land. Rizal also nurtured the virtues of physical strength by walking, horseback riding, and swimming. His first formal education consisted of Latin and arithmetic, and he was about 7 when his parents enrolled him at school in a nearby town. But after a few weeks, his teacher said that he has nothing more to teach him, since he had learned all the lessons the teacher intends to give his students. He was also taught drawing and painting. He also wrote poetry and wrote a Tagalog comedy through the puppet theater he made. He has memorized as a young child the different Catholic prayers taught by his dutiful mother. On the other hand, Aurobindo devoured books in English poetry, literature, fiction, French literature and history of ancient, medieval, and modern Europe. He devoted time in studying Italian, German, and a little Spanish. It was late when he started learning the Indian language, dialect, culture, and traditions, unlike Rizal, who knows his Tagalog and culture at a very young age. Both of their book collections are in varied titles and languages, like Spanish, French, German, English, Russian, Greek, Latin, Hebrew, and Sanskrit. We have to mention also that Aurobindo, as a young child, was also immersed into the religious culture of the Christians. Like, he stayed with a family of a Congregationalist minister, and he studied at Loreto School, handled by the Loreto sisters, and also at St. Paul's College. That is why, if one has had a chance of reading some of his writings, especially his very long poem, Savitri, one would aver that these Christian exposures had its impact on him and his philosophy. At a very young age, Rizal already had a sense of his future mission. He has developed a sense of patriotism and an acute political perception that cannot be found in other children of his age. He is thus more or less resolved, and that is why he has dedicated his life in the service of his countrymen. On the other hand, Aurobindo too had at a very young age a strong impression that he would play a role in a general upheaval and great revolutionary change that would come into the world. The spirit of nationalism has been ingrained in him since childhood. Rizal and Aurobindo's political activity had its similarities and differences. Rizal's political concepts were indeed the result of varied influences, which was the same as Aurobindo's. They both knew the inhumanity that their people have experienced and are experiencing under the hand of the colonialists. Although it was clear that Rizal experienced firsthand the very inhuman treatment shown to his mother at a very young age, whereas Aurobindo was in England for 14 straight years and only got to know what is happening in India through the clippings that his father sent him by mail. Both of them had the welfare of their people in mind. They loved their country to the depth, breadth, and height their souls can reach, taken from Rizal, of course. But we have to be clear that it was Rizal who was too willing to offer his precious life for the cause and sake, and that it's what happened. Whereas Aurobindo, on the other hand, had another fate in store for him. Rizal's political battle for the independence of his country was not limited within, rather it extended as far as the length and breadth of almost the entire of Europe, Asia, and America, through the reverberating sound of his prolific pen. Rizal went abroad to observe modern trends of running government, as well as to compare the Philippine government setup to those of other nations. It is said that his sojourn in Paris was one of the most prolific periods of his political career, while Aurobindo was not well-traveled like Rizal, who stayed in England and within the confines of British India. Rizal's politics or reform agenda was a step-by-step process of awakening the Filipino spirit, using education as an important tool for enlightening the masses, through the building up of a pure sense of nationhood, advocating liberty or freedom for his people instead of independence or separation from Spain. This was so because he knew that his countrymen were ignorant and superstitious, and therefore they were not yet ready to govern themselves, unlike Aurobindo, who advocated self-rule immediately. Aurobindo's political ideas and activities, on the other hand, can be summed up in three aspects, namely, start with a secret revolutionary propaganda and organization. Public propaganda is intended to convert the whole nation to the ideal of independence and the organization of the people to carry a public and united opposition, to undermine British rule through increasing non-cooperation and passive resistance. We have to note that politically, he went so far as to advocate preparation for armed insurrection. This was the major break between Aurobindo and Gandhi, because the latter went only as far as non-cooperation and passive resistance. As mentioned, the main historical difference between their political reforms was that Rizal was executed and died a martyr's death for the emancipation of his motherland, whereas Aurobindo formally retired from politics and sought spirituality, meditation, and yoga. It is clear that both of them absorbed deeply the new learnings of the West and brought well-trained intellect to bear upon the problems of Asia. They challenged and questioned the West in the West's own terms, a process which invigorated a largely supine continent, and ultimately, because the West could understand what they said, and it hurt sap the self-confidence of the colonial powers. who till then had believed in the supreme rightness of their mission. The two were agitators in the true sense of the word, so much so that the colonialist governments in their respective countries feared them and even had them imprisoned or punished, twice in the case of Aurobindo, but was later acquitted, and exiled and even executed in the case of Rizal. If colonialism is the policy of a nation seeking to acquire, extend, or retain overseas dependencies, then anti-colonialism is an opposing movement, a movement that will lead to independence and self-rule. Anti-colonialism is a kind of nationalism, and nationalism is an ideology about how the community asserts the ascendancy of its collective identity over others and seeks political power in the form of a state or a nation. What are the anti-colonialist and nationalist efforts of Rizal and Aurobindo? How are we to compare the efforts of the two? Rizal has been justly acclaimed by his own people as the father of Filipino nationalism because he was the first Filipino leader that advocated the idea of nationhood for his countrymen. He was said to be the one who started the Revolution of 1898, which led to the establishment of an independent republic. While on the other hand, Aurobindo is not branded as the father of nationalism in India because of the fact that he left politics in 1910. Can we just go back? Okay, thank you. But we have to note that he was the first politician in India who had the courage to publicize and publish Bande Mataram in 1906 to establish and generalize the idea of independence in the mind of the Indian people. This is thus revolutionary in India during Aurobindo's time. Seen from Asia, the armed uprising against Spanish rule of 1896, which triumphed temporarily with the establishment of an independent republic in 1898, makes it a visionary forerunner of all other anti-colonialist movements in the region. Rizal was said to be a pioneer Asian national leader. That is why Rizal is called the first Filipino, because of what he did to unite the peoples of the archipelago through his writings, and even was given the brand, the pride of the Malay race. Because even despite the brutalization of the Malay peoples by their colonizers, Rizal foresaw that they would someday regain their productive dynamism and contribute in a major way to the total progress of mankind. We can definitely say that the pen is indeed mightier than the sword. Because of the agitation of the writings of Rizal, let's just go back a bit, and Aurobindo has caused in their respective lands, the authorities made sure that they pay for it. Aurobindo advocated Swaraj or self-rule, both in its political and spiritual sense, that is, at the onset of his national propaganda movement. It is made clear that at the beginning, Aurobindo's political movement, he advocated not only self-rule, but even armed insurrection as a last means, a radical revolution. Did Rizal advocate the same sense, you know, the same kind of revolution? It is made clear that at the beginning of Aurobindo's political movement, that he did advocate self-rule. There is a semi-ambivalence, to go back to that, people can construct two readings of Rizal to use on separate occasions and contexts. That is, one for revolution, the other against revolution. Of course, this is according to Ambit Ocampo. It really depends on how one would like to look at it or how one would want to use Rizal for their intents and purposes. It is very clear that Rizal did recommend a peaceful means when he said, "In my writings, I have recommended study and the civic virtues, without which no redemption is possible. I have recommended study and the civic virtues. I have also written that reforms, if they are to bear fruit, must come from above. From the reforms that come from below are upheavals of both violence and are transitory." But this can also be ambiguous because the use of "not yet ready for revolution" would mean that he is also for revolution because he never denied the act. It is thus clear that for Rizal, education is a very important is very important as a prerequisite for liberty and freedom. I have given many proofs that I desire as much as the next man liberties for our country. I continue to desire them, but I lay down as a prerequisite the education of the people." End of quote. While Aurobindo believed that the debilitation of India was because of the people not knowing the potential power that could be harnessed from the unification of the nation. For him, aside from religious instruction and the realization of religious consciousness, the ultimate source of all strength they would need was something spiritual. That is for Aurobindo. The last thing that is to note between the two of them is that there's a radical break when it comes to the development of their political reforms, that is their nationalist efforts. Rizal fought for his countrymen and for his motherland until his very last breath. Whereas, as mentioned, Aurobindo formally retired from politics because he has seen that everything became clearer to him, that the future of an independent India was assured, there was no need for armed revolution, and that his personal participation in politics would no longer be indispensable. He thus sought a spiritual self-rule. Now, the transnationalism efforts of Jose Rizal and Sri or Aurobindo Ghosh. According to Philip Spencer and Howard Wolman, across multitude of discourses, both academic and everyday, it has become asserted that we live in a more globalized world. Transnationalism is an ideology of going across or beyond boundaries of nation-states in the sense of a heightened awareness of interconnectivity between peoples belonging to different nationalities. It could definitely be said that Rizal once was transnational because he stood as a pioneer Asian leader, as mentioned in the previous section, for Filipino nationality became a reality in 1898. That the labors of Rizal and his contemporaries in the formation of a Filipino nation had been successful was amply shown by the national uprising against Spain in 1896. These men were fighting for the emancipation of the whole Philippines, and yet not only the Philippines, but for all peoples who are in the struggle for self-rule or independence. In his famous and moving speech for his fellow Filipinos during the announcement of the winning of first and second prize of Juan Luna and Felix Resurreccion Hidalgo, he gave an account of a concept of transnationalism. Let me read. "In the history of the nations, there are names that by themselves signify an achievement that recall passions, names that become pact, a symbol of peace, a bond of love between nations. They were born in the Philippines, but they could have been born in Spain. Because genius knows no country. Genius sprouts everywhere. Genius is like air, light, patrimony of everybody. Cosmopolitan, like space, like life, like God." He spoke of bridging the gap between nations, that brilliance cannot be confined to a certain people. He went beyond the boundaries of nation states in the sense of a heightened awareness of interconnectivity between them. In the same vein, we can say that Aurobindo exudes transnationalism on two accounts. When he intervened actively, when it is necessary, through his spiritual action, which is silent and unbeknownst, with what is happening outside India, even if he has retreated to a more spiritual retirement. He spiritually intervened twice during the Second World War, first with Hitler and Nazi Germany, when it became evident that Japan intended to attack and invade India. He saw in Hitler and the Axis powers the will that they will crush the Allied powers and that they will dominate the world, and to him these were dark and evil forces that would want the enslavement of mankind. It was the tyranny of evil. Secondly, he founded the ashram, the Sri Aurobindo Ashram in Auroville, which is very unique and revolutionary because it wants to be a universal town, a global village, where all creeds, all politics, all nationalities are taken away. And as a comparative study between the anti-colonialist, nationalist, and transnational Efforts of Jose Rizal and Aurobindo Ghosh. This paper did not only reveal similarities that would make us understand better the meaning behind the success of their anti-colonialism, nationalism, and transnationalism efforts, but how it has shaped their respective countries to what they are today. It has been pointed out that good education and the use of mass media, print during their time, are powerful tools for nation building, and this should be harnessed with great care and much responsibility, for it can be beneficial, for if it can be beneficial, it can also cause much harm and abuse. The keen study of history was also given much credence as what has been showed by Rizal and Aurobindo, because knowing the past will make the people cognizant of what has been lost and what could have been gained for a much better, nobler, and meaningful existence. Rizal's concept of a nation was essentially a moral one. And in the same way, Aurobindo sought and fought for the moral ascendancy of his people against the inhumanities they suffered. But it has to be made clear that Aurobindo's political and nationalist legacy is transcending. It is not merely politically and nationalistically motivated, but it is religious and spiritual, and not so much as a dying for a cause, but a living for a just cause. Think of it. What if Rizal was not executed in 1896? What if he lived to a very ripe old age? He could have done more. Yes, a question, of course. He could have become the first president of the Republic. It is a known fact that Rizal is a central figure of the development of the Philippine nationalism, and yet paradoxically remains the greatest obstacle to its fulfillment. It is because sometimes people make Rizal an all-too-good-to-be-true ideal, which can never be attained because of the very varying accounts by his biographers for all their intents and purposes. There is still hope, as people would say, that despite the constantly changing and sometimes conflicting images of Rizal, he remains a constant in Filipino consciousness. What does the choice of Rizal as a national hero say about the Philippine state and Filipinos in general? Rizal is a reflection of the Filipinos' continuing search for a national identity. And indeed, the Philippines, beset with many problems, is still searching for its national identity. Last slide. People have to transcend themselves and say that amidst the difficulties and weaknesses, there can be strengths and success. For according to Ambeto Ocampo, perhaps there's a racial memory, an unconscious racial recognition that sees in Rizal the Filipino capacity for greatness. If we realize how Rizal rose from weakness and become what we know of him today, then we can likewise rise from our limitations and become the people we should be. Thank you for listening.